Hey guys, Rick and Duke. Welcome to another episode of Warhog Words of Wisdom. If you're new to tuning in, you're asking who is this Duke character. So Duke was my retired work dog that I lost July 5th, 2021. He started this thing, so we're going to end it with him. I just want to thank all of the viewers, listeners for giving me your most precious commodity, your time to tune in. Greatly appreciate it, guys. We couldn't do it without you. We have moved up into the top 2.5% of all podcasts globally, so thank you for that. Don't forget, hit those subscribe buttons, leave us a rating, review. I don't care if it's a thumbs up emoji, just something to help us beat the algorithm. And then, by the way, guys, if you're liking what you're hearing, you want early access, don't forget, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/ontherangepodcast. Early access to our podcast, to the vlogs, to the Warhog Words of Wisdom, Vantage Point, Zoom calls with me and Mark, all that stuff. Just go check that out. So appreciate you guys tuning in. So really on this episode of Words of Wisdom, I want to talk about, a lot of people ask me about handgun selection. What should I get? So first of all, I think it's important we kind of break some things down to start. So let's just look at handguns out there in general. So really you've got two options. You've got either a revolver or a semi-automatic. And I know what you guys are saying. Really, Rick, a revolver? Well, you know, here's the thing. You've got to look at what's out there, what you're doing, what's available, and you know, I think revolvers are still an option depending what you're doing, lifestyle. You know, if you think about it, here's the pros with a revolver. Super easy to work, right? You're not putting a magazine in. You're just basically putting bullets in the cylinder, lining the cylinder up and, you know, pressing the trigger and going. Here's the thing, you know, kind of a couple cons with the revolver, right? So where it is in essence, a double single action, well, double action handgun, you can do single. I don't recommend cocking the hammer, but a lot of people opt to do it just because that trigger squeeze is a little bit long. Once you kind of master that, it gets easy because basically the cylinder just cycles and you go from there. You know, another con you got to think about is where it does have an exposed hammer. Yeah, you've got the potential of a snag hazard if you're looking at it from a concealed carry standpoint. But again, it's not one of those things I would completely throw away. Just look at, is it feasible, you know, for your lifestyle and what you're looking to do? Kind of transitioning to, if you want to say semi-automatic handguns, now you've got to look at, you know, we'll break some things down. So you've got a double action, single action. So something such as your Beretta M9, which I used when I was in the military for years. As long as you put the time in, the double single, in my opinion, is not a drama. You just got to put the time in. You've got a single single action only, such as your like 1911, which I love the 1911. I'm not going to lie. I've used that in combat as well. I mean, it's a great handgun, super versatile, kind of set the standard, I think, for handguns, even though it's a World War I gun. And you're still seeing some 1911 style handguns being reborn, if you want to say, for lack of better terms. And then obviously your striker fired guns. So really, guys, when you're looking at your handgun selection, you know, the double action, single action, you know, there's some companies out there that have them. You know, is it as prevalent as it once was? You know, you're not seeing that as much in the forefront, but again, it's still an option. So the biggest problem I see, especially with my law enforcement students that are running, you know, that double single, is really getting that first shot off on the double action. That probably requires the most practice, in my opinion, because as you're doing your presentation out the target, you've got to start taking up a lot of slack on that trigger. And then simultaneously, you know, the hammer's coming back. You know, once the gun fires, boom, you know, then it's in that single action mode. So, you know, your trigger is not at that high of a weight to fire your sequential shots. But think about it. You've got to get a good first round on target hit. So you've got to put the extra time in just working on that double action only. That's really the biggest thing I see when it comes to the double single is guys just aren't familiar with that double action trigger and just putting the time in. You know, kind of transitioning over to the single action guns, you know, so if you want to say your 1911 style guns, I'm a super big fan of them. Here's the thing. It's like anything else, you know, it requires, you've got to put the work into it. The hardest thing I see with the single action gun is you've got to think they've got an external safety, and you've got to manipulate that safety. That is a critical component to running that handgun. So whether you're looking at the standard kind of 1911, where you're looking at something like a Staccato, which some people, you know, want to sit there and run that. And trust me, I am absolutely good with it. However, here's the thing. Your, you know, grip position, in my opinion, is critical, because what people fail to do or fail to understand is when you're back at the ready position, you've got your thumb basically resting on top of that safety. As you present out, that safety's dumping down and you're keeping that thumb on top. I've had students that have had their thumbs come underneath during the recoil process. Now they click the gun on safe and they wind up basically safing their gun during that drill. So that's really the biggest thing, is being able to manipulate that thumb on that safety. As soon as you've fired that last shot, boom, I got it. The thumb comes underneath. It goes up to safe, fingers off the trigger. But now that thumb goes right back to resting on top of the safety. Pistol slides back to the ready position. If I've got to go back out again, I dump that safety down and present out. The other thing you'll sometimes see on, you know, that single action 1911 style handgun is if you don't get a good grip on the pistol, there's a beaver tail safety on there. And in turn, they're not depressing that beaver tail safety. So if you kind of look at the 1911 and its evolution, you know, again, back in 1911, pistol came out, you know, for use in the U.S. military. Around the 60s and 70s, you really started seeing an increase on customizing that particular platform. One of the things they would do is actually increase the back of the beaver tail so it stuck out a little bit further, so you would get a good grip. Or if you didn't get a good of a grip on your handgun, you're still depressing that beaver tail safety. So what I would tell you guys as well is, you know, if you go to warhog.com, look at our products page, you know, my video with Pantheon Productions, the Make Ready Conceal Carry, we go over the grip in great detail. And again, just ensuring that you're getting that properly on your handgun. You know, kind of transitioning from the 1911 style handgun into, if you want to say, your modern era striker fired polymer type handguns, bunch of different, you know, ones out there. So really, you got to look at the design of, you know, most of your pistols. It's running on what's called a Browning tilt barrel design. So again, your barrel's there. As it unlocks, it's got to tilt down, pick up that round, feed up in there, and then lock back into position. You know, a lot of people ask, why are you running the Archon pistol? Well, because Archon does not have a Browning tilt barrel design. It's on an AF speed lock system. So in essence, it has a locking wing in there that drops down to unlock and then comes up, but that barrel stays right in line. So again, it just gives you one more place of reliability when you're looking at, you know, handgun selection. So, you know, kind of giving you a quick rundown on, you know, whether it's a revolver, single action, double action single, or, you know, a striker fired pistol. You know, at the end of the day, you've got to look at, hey, what are you looking for accoutrements wise? What are you going to do with it? You're going to red dot, you're going to conceal carry. And a lot of people don't know where to start. So what I would tell you is really, if you've got some friends out there, ask them what they have and try to get a hold of their pistol. Now, if you look at, and I'm not going to go into a bunch of detail, but on my YouTube page, I talk about first-time gun handling. It's not so much for the first time. It can be for the first-time gun owner, but again, what I do whenever I get somebody else's gun, because really I want to see how does that trigger feel, because to me that's the biggest key component. I just need to understand, hey, where's this trigger breaking at? How does all that work? So if you can find some people that have handguns, try them out. How does it fit your hand? You know, is it, do you have small hands and it's, you know, a double stack gun, it doesn't fit well, but do you got to go to a single stack? I mean, there's all kinds of different options out there, but I think fit is a super key when you're looking at it. Hey, can I get a good solid grip on there? And then, oh, by the way, does my grip potentially interfere with any of the controls? So another big thing I see with my students, especially on the Glock pistols, is when they get a good high grip on there, a lot of times what winds up happening is somehow their hand, usually that support hand, either the palm portion of it or potentially their firing thumb is resting on that slide release, and the slide will never lock back for that last shot. Again, you can do some manipulations or tweaks to your grip and thumb position to correct it. But again, it's one of those you've got to understand you know, what you have going on. And then the other thing you got to look at is, you know, this whole customization piece. You know, people will go out and, again, I'm not throwing Glocken on the bus, but that's kind of the predominant handgun out there you see it in. People buy a $500 Glock handgun. Of course, you've got to swap out the sights because, you know, the factory sights are not the best on there. They're usually swapping out the trigger. And then who knows what else they're going to do, slide cuts, serrations, Cerakote, change this part, that part, whatever. And next thing you know, you've got, you know, a $500 pistol cranking you up $1,500 plus, and you haven't even got a holster. And oh, by the way, you've only got two magazines with it. And, you know, now you're having to get accoutrements or base pads or, you know, whatever you're looking to do. So again, it just depends on what application you're looking for. Though, you know, the whole red dot thing, I'm not going to get into that in a whole bunch of detail because we did a whole previous Words of Wisdom on what I'm looking for, or the Aimpoint Acro is the only red dot sight that I'm running just because it's enclosed. You can listen to that and all the tips on that. But if you can't find, you know, friends that have the particular handgun you're looking for, sometimes some of these gun shops that have indoor ranges actually have guns out there that you can try before you buy. So I think they might only give you 10 rounds. Is that going to give you a good feel? I mean, it depends on what your experience level is. Can you get a couple more and get a couple more rounds through there just so you understand, hey, how's this handgun feeling? Yep, that's cool. If you're looking at it from a concealed carry standpoint, hey, can you ask somebody that's got one, you know, what holster they run and tried in there? Does it fit your lifestyle? All those certain things you've got to look at. Because at the end of the day, guys, you know, this is just Rick's opinion. Yes, I do like my Archon pistol without a doubt. You know, I like the Walther PDP. But at the end of the day, it's the carpenter, not the tool. And I think if people understand that, it doesn't matter what handgun you have. Because if you think about it, why does Rick teach use your left hand to release the slide release? Because it doesn't matter in my mind what handgun I get. I know that thumb is going to reach. Yes, you can use your firing thumb. However, if you always go with the left, then it's easy because at that point, it's the carpenter, not the tool. So I can grab any blaster out there, conduct speed magazine change, and I know my thumb's going to hit that slide release wherever it's at. So, you know, a lot of guys get wrapped around, you know, this brand, that brand, these features, and that's all cool. And I'm not busting you for it. But at the end of the day, I think the biggest key is how well does that handgun fit into your hand? I know, like with Walther, I give you a prime example. I was doing that video shoot for Walther with the launch of the PDP. I think they had the medium backstrap in there. It didn't really bother me. But then, you know, when I actually got mine, tried it, it's like, meh, let's go try the small one. And you know what? I stuck the small one on there. And to me, it just fit my hand better. So that's just an example of, you know, one company having accessories in there to adjust. And I just, for me and my grip, it just felt a little better. Did it mean I couldn't use the medium? No, I could. You saw the videos, you know, shot it fine, but it just felt a little better with the smaller one. So I would look at all that, you know, size of the pistol you're looking at. All that is going to be lifestyle driven. Are you looking at for a concealed carry standpoint? So do you want a smaller gun? Are you doing competition stuff? You want a longer barrel? I mean, I'm a big fan of the red dot optics. You know, do I need to get a slide cut on there? Is it already pre-cut? So long story short, I mean, there really is no good answer. Hey, what handgun should I get? I think it all depends on you. I think it depends on you getting out and trying different handguns. Use your network of people that have firearms out there. Hey, ask them to borrow theirs. I know for me, you come out to a Warhog class and I've got the Archon or PDP. Somebody wants to shoot it. Yeah, man, there you go. I'm going to let you know, run it all day long. So just try to do that and see if that doesn't help, you know, in your firearm selection. I get it. You know, how many rounds is it going to take? You know, that's going to be kind of on you. You know, I mean, can you go out and just shoot 10 rounds and go, oh yeah, that feels good. Okay. Maybe I want to put 50, 100, and really get a good feel. Hey, how does this recoil management work? How well does the gun feel, you know, or index from target to target, all these different things. Do you like the sights, not like the sights? What brand sights do I get if I'm going to swap them out? You know, all kinds of different things, but just, you want to shoot close. Yes. You know, kind of get your stuff going, but I'm always a fan of, hey man, let's go run it out 25 and let's just see what this thing's doing, barring that you can get, you know what your 25 meter slow fire is. it really does you no good, because I ask my students all the time, hey, what's your 25 meter slow ball? And they're like, I don't know. Well, to me, that'd be one of those things I would want to do when I go to the range, so that if I know, you know, typically for me, you know, in the high 90s, go, okay, cool. I know that I've got that ability. If I have a firearm that all of a sudden starts throwing things off and I know that I didn't throw any of my shots, because again, I'm calling my shots, I go, all right, maybe I've got some accuracy issues. Maybe I don't. So it's just really kind of giving a quick rundown, test this pistol out, and then just kind of see what, you know, fits you best. So at the end of the day, guys, this is kind of my words to you. Master the fundamentals of pistol marksmanship, and then just think about this. It's the carpenter, not the tool. The tool, you know, it doesn't matter which one you get. You can get it to run. Yes, I agree. It should fit, especially your hand well. You know, ideally, if we'd like to be able to hit all the controls. But again, if we can't, like for the slider release, no big deal. We use our left thumb and we can let that thing go. Do I have to do a little jockeying of my pistol to hit that magazine release? You know, maybe you do, maybe you don't. If you're, and again, I always throw my lefties under the bus because I am not one, so I don't think about them. But, you know, for my lefties, hey, can I work the controls from the lefty? Does it have the ability to potentially be an ambi mag release? So you just need to look at, you know, for you, what that pistol has to offer. Try different people's, you know, pistols if you can. If you can find that gun shop that offers the, you know, to try it for your buy, definitely give that a shot and just kind of see what happens. But, you know, at the end of the day, guys, I would just, I would tell you this, focus on your pistol marksmanship and then, you know, circle back later on, leave some notes in the comments or whatever. Did that make a difference or did the pistol really matter? And I get it. People are stuck on their brands and love their brands. And trust me, I'm all about it. Personally, for Rick, I'd like to see a little more innovation in the firearms industry as far as our handguns. You know, we've had the Browning tilt barrel design, you know, forever. Where do we sit there and try to get some innovation? That's kind of why I like the Archon, you know, as part of the whole test and evaluation for that thing, what, 3+ years ago. And at first I was just like, yeah, another handgun, whatever. But then when I really found out how this thing worked, I was like, yeah, man, they're onto something. And that's why I opt to run that. But then again, like I said, I roll a PDP, you know, as well. So kind of go back and forth just to show people different platforms, understand different controls, how things are working, and go from there. So really, guys, get out there, you know, try people's different handguns out there, figure out which one you want. And then when you get it, master the craft. So guys, just do us a favor. I appreciate it if you'd sit there and just tell your friends about us, just help us grow out there. If you like what you're hearing, if you've got any suggestions, you know, shoot us a note. We're always open to that. Don't forget, check out our Patreon site, patreon.com/onTheRangePodcast. Don't forget to check out warhog.com and kellydefense.com. You know, on the Warhog side, I know I've got a list of my industry partners. So for those of you that tune into the podcast, we've got our coupon codes, discount codes. Again, we're trying to pass our partnerships, you know, to have them give you guys some savings as well. So look at the different codes out there. If it's stuff that fits your lifestyle, by all means, and as Mark would like to say, save yourself a boatload of cash. So appreciate you guys for tuning in. Make sure you guys are training hard. Stay safe out there. And don't forget to check out on the warhog.com, the about page, as far as in honor of Duco. That way you'll know more about him. So you guys take care. Stay safe. Warhog.